trivia question. I'd like to start with that. How many of you know when Mother's Day officially became a holiday? Does anyone know the year that that happened? All right, didn't think so. If you ever get to go on Jeopardy, just remember this. It was 1914, okay, because it may be a question that comes up. And of course, that was back in the days of Woodrow Wilson and when none of us were alive, right? I don't think anybody here is over 100. Good. So, second question, do you know who it was that was a great force or who spearheaded this idea of having Mother's Day as a national holiday? Anybody know the lady that spearheaded that? All right. Well, her name was Anna Jarvis. And Anna Jarvis, actually, it took her about 10 years to bring this before Congress, before they finally said, okay, we're going to do this. See, some things never change, right? But it took her a long time, and thankfully she persevered. In fact, some of the congressmen even joked about it because they said, well, you know, if we have a Mother's Day, you know, that means we're probably also going to have to proclaim a Mother-in-Law's Day. And so they were probably, you can imagine the discussion they had about that one. But anyway, thankfully, 1914, Mother's Day became a national holiday. And I, for one, am thankful. I hope you are thankful as well that not only do we get to honor moms as American citizens, but more importantly, we're called to honor moms because this is the will of God. God tells us that we need to honor our mothers. I want to begin today with a very familiar verse out of Exodus 20. We see that when God gave these 10 key commandments to the people of Israel, one of them dealt with honoring our moms. And so we read this in Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. How many have ever heard, I brought you into this world and I can take you out, right? If you want to live a long life, honor your mom and dad. But if you've ever studied the Ten Commandments, I'm sure you know that the first four commandments deal or focus with our relationship with God, the vertical. And the next six, commandments 5 through 10, really deal with the horizontal or how we relate together as human beings. And though we don't want to disconnect these two because love for God and love for people go hand in hand when we think about it. But it's very interesting, isn't it? When God begins this section on human relationships, he begins with the family, with moms and dads and kids and how we are to relate to each other. Even before he says, do not murder each other, he lays down the groundwork of how the family should interact. And I think that is really important that God does that. Because even though we live in a day where many may mock, quote, family values, and many may have all these new ideas of what a family should look like, some want to even redefine what it is to be a man and a woman and a family is very important in God's eyes. And so if it's important, it's near to God's heart, then it should be close to our hearts as well. Well, as we focus today on honoring our mothers, I realize that we're all at different places. If I could group everybody, we might have 20 different groups of people here today when we begin to think about how we may be in a situation in relationship to our mother. For some of you, quite a few of you, your mother has passed, your mother has died. And in that group, some maybe you lost your mom recently, others maybe a while ago, some maybe many, many, many years ago. And then there's another group where we're like myself, we have our mom still alive, still with us. And even within that group, there's all kinds of situations. My mother lives about 440 miles away. And some of you can relate to that, right? Right, Dave, you're pretty close, right? So, and some of you maybe even further, maybe 1,000 miles away. Others, maybe it's just a few miles away, and some are real close, right, Lydia? Like under the same roof, you're real close to your mom. Some of you maybe never knew your birth mother, or maybe you were abandoned by your mother. All kinds of situations that we may find ourselves in. Some of you maybe just maybe have a strained relationship right now with your mom. But the bottom line is that in any situation we may find ourselves in, guess what? This will address our situation. The Word of God will come to bear on our lives. So everything I say today may not apply to you, but hopefully there'll be something that will apply. And if not, I apologize. We'll talk later. Maybe I can find something to apply to you. But let me begin today by just speaking to those of you who have lost your mom, either recently or not so recently. As one who is not in this category, it hasn't happened to me. I don't pretend to understand all that you're going through and all that you've had to deal with the loss of your mom. But I'm pretty sure that because today is Mother's Day and there's a lot of focus on Mother's Day, that there's probably a lot of thoughts that you may have about your mom. And because of that, there may be some sorrow, maybe some sadness that finds its way into your heart today. And if that's you today, then I want you to know this, that the Bible tells us this, that even in the midst of our sorrow, we can have joy. The Apostle Paul would say this, I'm sorrowful, but I'm always rejoicing. And so today, if your mom passed and she knew the Lord, you knew that she walked with Christ, then let these scriptures today give you great encouragement and great hope. We find this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, as the Apostle Paul speaks here to some believers who are a bit confused about what's going to happen. You know, suppose that Jesus comes back and my relatives have already died or my friends have died. What happens to them? Is it just we who are alive who are going to be with Jesus forever? Well, Paul has to kind of explain this. He says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And that phrase, fall asleep, simply means have died. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Paul would say elsewhere in Scripture that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so if your mom knew the Lord, then you can have confidence and joy today that she is in the presence of Christ right now. That ought to bring you great joy. But what Paul is addressing here is the resurrection body. And when do we get that? And he would say that happens at the return of Christ, when Jesus comes back. You see, when Jesus comes back, he is going to give your mother a resurrection body, excuse me, or a spiritual body. And if you happen to be alive and you know Jesus, then guess what's going to happen? She's going to be up, and then you're going to be caught up with her to meet the Lord in the air. And the best news of all is this. You will be with the Lord forever, together forever. And that is such an awesome thought. So may that thought just pervade your heart and your soul today. If you're here and you've lost your mom who is in Christ, and perhaps some of you are here and you say, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure if my mom knew the Lord. Again, I can't even begin to fathom the thoughts of what you might be feeling today. But I can again point you to the scriptures and ask you to rest in a couple things. And number one is the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereign over all things. And number two, that God is just. And also this, that as believers, if you're in Christ, then when we get to heaven, Many of the things that we don't understand now, even the unbelief of our loved ones, I believe we'll have even a greater understanding of that when we get to heaven, when we get to glory. And we're also promised this, that when we get to heaven, there will be no more sorrow. So even the sorrow we may feel today will not exist in the kingdom of God in glory. And so find hope in that today. Well, how about if you never knew your mom, or maybe she abandoned you? Some of you have met my friend Tom. We first met him in Connecticut when he was just a teenager. He now lives in Massachusetts with his wife and two daughters. But some of you know the story of Tom and how when he was younger, his father committed suicide. And at about the age of five or so, his mother basically said, I don't want you anymore. And so he lived the rest of his days up until 18 in group homes and in foster homes. And that's kind of where we first met him, when he was in a group home. And if that's you today, maybe that's been your experience, then let me just again point you to the Word of God. We find a beautiful passage in Psalm 27, verse 2. Let's look at that. It says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. In other words, the Lord will take me in. Such a beautiful, beautiful verse, isn't it? For those who maybe have experienced an abandonment or a forsakenness by a mother or father, God is saying, hey, I'll bring you in. You come to me. I'll take care of you. I'll be a father to you. A father to the fatherless. That's who God is. And so, if you've ever experienced a mom saying, I'm done with you, I want nothing to do with you, get out of my life, know this, God is faithful. God is faithful. And God has promised this, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will be with you through the fire, through the rain, through the flood. I will never let you go. So many of our Christian songs nowadays are about this topic, aren't they? He'll never let us go. 10th Avenue North, right, Lydia? By your side. It's from the perspective of God, singing to his people, I'll be by your side. That's our God. Know this, there is far greater security in God than in any human relationship that exists. Well, for those of you who still have your mom with you, how do you honor them? Well, just a couple ways I want us to consider today. Number one is with our words, and number two is with our actions. How many agree that words can be powerful? Right? We can maybe, sometimes they just get embedded to our hearts or our souls, and they just get etched on our lives sometimes, especially if they're not so good. Those we tend to remember more than the good things, But words are very powerful. They can build up or they can tear down. They can do good or bring harm. And so when you think about your words in relationship to your mother, make sure they're edifying, they're good. They build her up. And secondly, make sure that your words really come from your heart. That there's a link between what's in your heart and what comes out. You want a good heart so that the good words come out. We all have sinful natures, and at times, sinful natures can produce what? Pretty evil words, right? Nasty words at times. It's interesting that when Mother's Day began to be a holiday, that woman that I mentioned, Anna Jarvis, who sought to have this become a national holiday, it's interesting that she was not a fan of Hallmark. And you may say, Hallmark, come on. Man, they got some great cards, great sayings, great designs. Even the Hallmark Channel, right? How many like the great movies, right, on the Hallmark Channel? Come on, what was up? What was her beef with them? Well, here was her beef. She could see the holiday possibly coming superficial in some way. She could see a company who really just wanted to make a lot of money, maybe preying on people so that they'd, you know, buy a lot of cards and do things like that. That was her fear of really companies like Hallmark. So her suggestion was, hey, if you've got something nice you want to say to your mother, you just write her a note yourself. There you go. Hey, even save a couple bucks. That's my kind of way of doing things, right? So yeah, you just write what's on your heart to your mom. Because in her mind, that was more important than all the money and the hoopla, was the spirit of the holiday. She didn't want people to miss the heart of the holiday. And that can happen in our day. Right? I could go into Walmart or some store and say, oh, Mother's Day is coming. Let me see. Oh, where's the Mother's Day card section? There it is. Oh, from son. Oh, that's me. I'll just grab it and send it off. Or, oh, here comes Mother's Day. 1-800-Flowers, better make sure I get her something, right? And it's possible that my heart may not actually be in the gift. This is what she was worried about. Now, just so you know, I do read all the cards, and I try to get a card that really would line up with what I might write. But maybe next year I'll actually write something out, and you may want to too. But obviously, just because we buy a card or we give flowers, that does not mean that our heart's not in it, right? Our heart can still be in it. This is, don't miss the point there. But what she was getting at is that cards and flowers can become at times, quote, showy rather than heartfelt. And so we can become as children, much like the Pharisees of old. What were the Pharisees guilty of? Number one, being showy, right? They like to pray so everybody could, they can impress people by their long and lengthy prayers and by the way they dressed. They also, Jesus said about the Pharisees this, you people honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And so they were saying the right things. Out of their mouth was coming the right thing, but their heart was not there. And that can happen to us as children if we're not careful. We need to make sure our hearts are warm and affectionate toward our mothers and not cold and distant. We need to pray and ask God to continually soften my heart. Give me a greater appreciation and love for my mom and help me to speak words that would truly build her up and edify her. Well, not only are words important, we also need to know that it's really more than just words. It's also action. It can be easy to say words that convey honor and love and yet do nothing to demonstrate that love and honor. And this is what the Apostle John speaks of when he writes to the body of Christ in 1 John 3. Let's look at that. He's writing here to the church, and so he addresses brothers. But what I want you to do is if your mother is living, I want you to insert the word mother instead of brothers, okay? Ready? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers or mothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or mother in need, but has no pity on him or her, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. Now, John is not saying here that words don't matter, that don't love, don't say kind and loving things. He's just saying this, the proof is in the pudding. Because you can say with your mouth, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. Mommy, 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 you're the best mommy ever. You're the greatest mommy. And yet there's no actions that would back that up. This is what John is getting at to the church when they're not loving in an action-filled way. For consider Jesus. How did Jesus demonstrate his love? What did he do? He laid down his life, didn't he? He was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to deny himself for the sake of us, his bride, the church. This is what love is, according to the scriptures, according to God. This is what love really looks like. Do you want to know what love is? Yeah, this is it. Look at Christ. Look at his sacrifice. Look at his life. You see, if the only time you love your mother is when she is doing something for you, then that's really not love according to God. That is a self-centered love. It is a love really that reveals that you love yourself more than you love your mom. And if that is the only love you find, then you have to ask yourself, is the love of Christ even in me? Because if I've come to Christ and been changed by his love, then the natural effect on my life ought to be the way I love others, including my mother. May God help us to have that kind of love and honor for our moms. Well, perhaps today some of you are in a strained relationship with your mom. Maybe there's just this disconnect. Things just aren't right. And so if that's... Why are you elbowing him? If that's... I'm just joking. If that's you today, then know this, that you can address things. If things aren't right, maybe there's been insults, maybe there's been offenses, then just bring them to the table in a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of love, but lay those things out so that you can work them out. Because the goal, whenever there's division and strife, what is the goal as Christians? It's reconciliation, isn't it? We want the relationship to be healthy again. Want it to be good again. And so even if we have to maybe say hard things, it's okay, because we want the relationship to be good. And as you seek that, make sure that love abounds in all that you do in that way. Well, the final thing I want us to consider on this special day is honoring Christ. As humans, we always face the danger and the temptation of making idols. Calvin once said this, that the human heart is an idol factory. It just keeps pumping out idols. You say, wait a minute, I have no idols. There's no images that I bow down to. An idol is simply anything we put before God. And so an idol could be our homes, could be our careers, could be leisure, could be our families, could even be, yes, even our mother could be an idol if we're not careful. You see, whenever we give higher honor, higher respect, and higher love to anyone or anything than God, that is when idolatry takes place. And so if this is a trap for you, you find yourself continually giving honor to things more than God, let's look at our final scripture today from Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 37 and 38. This is Jesus, and he says this, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. If those words sound severe and radical, I encourage you to read Luke 14. Right? And some of you who watched David Platt the other night would say, you know exactly where he's going with that, because it's even more severe in that way he explains it in Luke 14. But the point that Jesus is making is this. Jesus is saying, I must be number one in your life. If you truly want to follow me and come after me, then I've got to be the top priority in your life. I've got to reign in your heart. I need to be number one. You see, Jesus is to be our greatest love. He is to be our greatest desire. And we are to honor him above all others, even those who are near and dear to our hearts. And the call that Jesus has placed on our lives is this. you say you believe in me? That's great. Does this belief include a willingness to set all your pleasures, all your dreams, all your ambitions, all your pursuits, and lay them at God's feet and say, God, do whatever you want to do in my life? This is what it means to truly be a disciple of Christ. And we've got to say, you know what, I don't care. I don't care what my family thinks. I don't care what my friends or neighbors or coworkers think. I want to know what God thinks in this matter. And God, I'm going to do what you say. This is what it means to follow the Lord. Well, let me ask you, is that where you are at today? Is Jesus number one in your life? Is he your greatest passion, your greatest desire? Is he your greatest love? And if not, then today, may today be the day that you just simply humble yourself before Jesus, knowing that his love was so great that he laid down his life so that we who are sinners and rebels and wretches could be forgiven by the almighty grace of God, the amazing grace of God. We could find cleansing and forgiveness through Jesus. And again, if you've never turned to Jesus, then do that today. Surrender to Christ. Follow Christ. Say, Jesus, all the chips are in. All in. Whatever happens, happens. I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to follow you because you are Lord and you are King and you have first place in my heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we all fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned in different ways, to different degrees. And yet, God, you are so full of mercy. You can cleanse anyone. The vilest of sinners can be cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. And so, Jesus, today we thank you for your precious blood that cleanses us, that makes us whole and clean. Jesus, thank you for being victorious over hell and death and sin, that we have hope of everlasting life with you because of what you've done. And God, today we also are so grateful for the mothers in our lives. And so, Lord, help us today, whether our mothers are with us or whether they are not, that we would honor them through what we say and what we do. We ask for your help in this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.